This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning. It is so good to be with you, in person and streaming. Welcome to worship today. And I hope that you do have reasons to be glad. I will say for me this week, one thing that I'm very glad about, the Trazo family has finally had some time to explore Moorestown a bit. And every time we've gone out, we've come across someone connected to St. Matthew. So today I am particularly glad for Kimmy for introducing herself when we met up at the store the other day, and to Jose and Jonathan for helping Cademan with his bicycle. I hope that you can remember things that you are glad for today as well. It is a busy day, a busy congregation, so I do have a few announcements for the day. So first of all, we are both in person and streaming. For those who are streaming, we have about 30 people in worship here today in person. And so that means there is a little more room in future weeks. We do need reservations ahead of time. Please email the email Kim in the church office by noon on Friday for that. You can phone call, but particularly emails are helpful, but we do need reservations, and that will be true going forward for the undetermined future. Meanwhile, one of the things that we have found in the past months in having the streaming worship is how valuable that is. And so to make that more permanent, there will be new cameras starting tomorrow to be installed. That means starting next week, things are going to look a little different. That also means there will be a new link starting next week, so please check your e-blast on Friday. The old one will not work. There will be new instructions coming out this week once the system is installed. We should know the details of that. Christian education is also getting started, so a few announcements there. 11 o'clock this morning, families with 7th and 8th graders in the confirmation program, we will be meeting on Zoom, so please do log on 11 o'clock. For those preparing for the affirmation of baptism, we'll be meeting with you at 1 o'clock to figure out the details of that service. So please do log on for that. For those with Sunday school age children, Sunday school will be starting next week. That is being done in conjunction with Camp Crossroads as a Zoom program. It will be at 11:15 on Sunday mornings. You will need to register yourself for that with Camp Crossroads. Hopefully you have received an email already with the link that you need. If you have not received an email, please contact Deacon Bill. He will make sure that you get it. Today we will be having a communion service outdoor this afternoon, 5 o'clock, just outside, as we had done before. We will be trying that again. So please, if you are available, come enjoy. We'll hope to do that at least one more time before the weather gets too cold, but please, if you're available, come today. Well, there will also be a congregational meeting next week, so that will be at 11 o'clock after the service. It will be a Zoom meeting. The bulletin of reports is available through the e-blasts. There are also hard copies in the narthex that you can pick up on your way out. I believe that's the major announcements for today. And so let us now prepare ourselves for worship. Let us begin with a brief order for confession and absolution. I invite the congregation to please rise. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors or our families or our friends as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. Free us from the urge to speak with haste, offending those we fail to fully understand. Let our words always honor your wondrous love, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you show perpetual loving kindness to us, your servants. Because we cannot rely on our own abilities, grant us your merciful judgment and train us to embody the generosity of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated. It is time for children. Unfortunately, children are not able to move forward, but this is your time. So, good morning. We do have Nate and Kate with us in person, and there are many of you there on streaming, but I'm not sure who you are. I've not had a chance to meet you. So, right now, why don't you ask your parents to take a picture of you on this streaming, send it to me, email me, so that I can see you and imagine what you're doing there. Okay? That way I can get to know you and mention your names too. Now, I'm going to try an experiment. Let's see what happens. Ready? The Lord be with you. Oh, people responded. I know they're not really supposed to talk, but we can't help it, can we? In church, we have this thing that we do. If someone says, the Lord be with you, people automatically say, and also with you. Now, what's that about? Well, it's a way in church that we say, did you know God's there with you? And then they say, and also with you, to say, and God's with you. And if God is with you and God's with me, then we're connected. Whether we can see each other in person or whether we're a long way apart and watching on Zoom, God is still with all of us. And so we say that to remind us, because God's always with us, but we forget. And so we say, the Lord be with you, to kind of say, all right, it's time to remember that God is here and really pay attention. So usually we say that right before we pray. Sometimes we'll do it for other things, but it's always times when we want to focus on God. So I have a job for you this week. When your family is sitting down together for a meal, before you eat, usually you pray. I want you to try that experiment. Take a turn and say, the Lord be with you, and see if everyone else responds. It's a way of saying, hey, God's here. Let's give thanks. All right, so that's your job for this week. The Lord be with you and also with you. Thanks.
The first reading is from the third chapter of Jonah. After Jonah's short sermon, the Ninevites all repented, and God decided to spare the city. Jonah objected to this and became even more angry when God ordered a worm to destroy a plant that was providing shade. The book ends with a question that challenges any who are not ready to forgive. You, Jonah, are all worked up about a bush, but shouldn't I be concerned about 120,000 Ninevites? When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade and waited to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came upon the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day will I bless you and praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. There is no end to your greatness. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your power.
I will speak of the right of the glorious splendor of your majesty and all your marvelous works. They shall tell of the might of your wondrous acts, and I will recount your greatness.
They shall publish the remembrance of your great goodness.
They shall sing joyfully of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
A reading from 1 Philippians. Paul writes to the Philippians from prison. Though he's uncertain about the outcome of his imprisonment, he is committed to the ministry of the gospel and calls on the Philippians to live lives that reflect and enhance the gospel mission. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus tells a parable about God's generosity, challenging the common assumption that God rewards people according to what they have earned or deserve. Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for his usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'No one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious that I am being generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite the congregation to be seated. About 3 weeks ago, I got a notice from Facebook that they were forcing me to upgrade to the latest design. They had been inviting me to do so for months, but I had been procrastinating. I had too much going on in my life, too many things changing. Call process, moving, virtual schooling. I don't even use Facebook that much. I couldn't handle one more change, one more thing to learn. But now, just as I arrived here, they forced that change on me. It's not something I would have chosen, not at all. I have enough to deal with as it is right now, just getting through day to day, getting through all of the details. Can't things just work right so I don't have to worry with it? Why are they making me change? I know I'm not alone in this. Every time Facebook makes a new design change, there are plenty of people that get up in arms. It's like the world that you knew is suddenly gone. There's something of a three-step process to the new design. First, you avoid it, then you get annoyed about it, and finally, you accept it. Avoid, annoyed, accept. Of course, not everyone uses Facebook. For some, that's for young people. Who needs all of these changes, everything happening online now? The world as it once was seems to be gone. On the other hand, if you ask teens, young adults, Facebook's for old people. Platforms like Instagram, TikTok, those are the cutting-edge platforms. Soon enough, though, those things will be memories of a world that once was as well. Each of us comes with an understanding of how our world works and our place in it. Social media and other ways of communicating is just one example. We know how the world works. We know what to do in it. Being forced to change that perspective is difficult. We're almost always resistant when our ways of viewing the world are challenged, when what we see to be certainties turn out to be uncertain. It's tiring, it's threatening, and sometimes we just want to quit, to say, enough's enough. I don't want this, I am done. There's many reasons why the past few months have been draining for so many people, but a big part of it is because things that we took to be certain have turned out to be uncertain, and that leaves us tired and defensive. We can perhaps see a bit of this story, a bit of ourselves, in the story of Jonah. Twice in our reading today, from this morning, Jonah says, "It's better for me to die than to live." In other words, enough's enough. I don't want this. I'm done. Stop it. Now, I think everyone is familiar with the beginning of the book of Jonah, the storm, the fish. But to summarize quickly, God calls Jonah to go and preach in Nineveh. Jonah doesn't want to go, so he takes a boat in the other direction. The seas swell, a storm comes up. Jonah realizes that it is because of him, and he jumps out of the boat. A fish swallows him up and takes him to Nineveh. That's the famous part, the part we tell again and again in children's Bibles. But it's just the beginning of the story. Jonah goes to Nineveh, and he preaches, and the people repent. God hears their prayers and chooses not to destroy the city. And so that brings us to chapter 4, the final chapter of the book, the chapter that we read this morning. And here we find out why Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh in the first place. See, most of us assume that he was scared, that he was resistant to God's calling. We tend to think about it as Jonah's relationship to God and God's plan for his life. Many people will say, "Oh, I was like Jonah in resisting God's call." But we find out in chapter 4 what was really going on. That was not his real reason. It was not that he didn't want to respond to God, at least not in the way we think. In his prayer at the beginning of chapter 4, we find the real reason. He knew that God was merciful. He knew God was merciful, and he hated that. This was Jonah's issue all along. He knew God. He knew God. He knew who God was. He knew what God's nature was. God is a God of compassion and mercy. And so if God was calling Jonah to Nineveh, it was because God intended to be merciful to the people in Nineveh. Jonah didn't want that, and so he ran away. He avoided. When God was indeed merciful to the people in Nineveh, Jonah was furious. It's just like God to be merciful to those people. And that made Jonah say, "This is too much, God. I'm done. Enough's enough." So he avoided, and then he became annoyed. In fact, he became angry. Because you see, Nineveh was the hated enemy. It was at the time the capital of Assyria, an aggressive, expanding empire that would soon conquer the northern kingdom of Israel and come close to conquering Jerusalem. They were the hated enemies. From the point of view of any prophet of the people of Israel, the Assyrians were ruthless, bloodthirsty, immoral, unholy, the worst of the worst. And God was the God of the people of Israel. God was on our side. That's the way things were. So when God tells Jonah, go and preach to Nineveh, that is forcing Jonah to change his perspective. God is saying, yes, I have a special relationship with the people of Israel, but I am the God of all creation. God's mercy goes beyond the limits that Jonah thought were good and proper, or even possible. And when God acts on that mercy, it makes Jonah furious. How could you do such a thing, God? How could you be merciful to them? We have enough trouble in our land. Why are you even concerned with anyone else? Jonah understood how the world worked, at least in his perspective. God was gracious, was the gracious Lord of Jonah's people, and Jonah loved that relationship. He was comfortable with the way that that relationship worked. Now, though, it seems like God has changed the rules, broken down those familiar boundaries, made everything seem uncertain, chaotic. And Jonah is not okay with this. God has forced him to update his format for seeing God and the world. Jonah understood who God was. God was full of compassion and mercy. Jonah knew that in his head, but he put a boundary on how far that went. That understanding in his head didn't filter to his heart. You see, God comes to us. God calls us. God shows us the depths of divine mercy. God did that for Jonah then. God does that for us now. And then the Holy Spirit calls us forth to witness to how that mercy and love radiate out into the world. But when God did that, Jonah didn't like it. Yet the book of Jonah does not end with Jonah's protest. It ends with a question from God. Our last verse today is the last verse of the book. And it ends with God asking Jonah a question. But more than that, it's a question to us. The whole book of Jonah is written in such a way that the point of the book is to lead us to this question at the end. The whole point of the book is to hear it as God not only asking Jonah, but asking us. God asks, to paraphrase, should I not be concerned with those 120,000 people, let alone animals that are there? So God is telling Jonah, my love is bigger than your imagination. And in that question, as we read it, God is saying that to us too. So who are the Ninevites for you? Who are the godless, immoral people in your mind? Who is it that makes you furious, makes you draw lines and call them adversaries? Who can you not imagine God loving? The question of Jonah to Jonah, is God not compassionate to them? More than that, as people who know God's love and mercy, we are called by the Holy Spirit, just as Jonah was called, to witness to that love, whatever our personal reservations about it are. God cares about the lives that we don't value, calls on us to broaden our perspective of what it means to value something. The last word in the reading is about God's care for animals. 120,000 people plus the animals. There are 70% fewer animals in the world today than there were in 1970. And that percentage is rapidly increasing, as that doesn't even count for the fires in Australia, in Brazil, in the US in the past year. God cares about this. That's what this question is telling us. God calls on us to witness to that concern, to be a voice seeking to protect those lives. God calls on us not to just love our pets, but to love a world that God created to be full of lizards and mosquitoes, spiders and vultures, sea slugs and tapirs. To value and protect all lives, all of the creatures that God has made and cares about. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And God cares, too, about the lives of the people in an enemy city, in a city we don't understand. God calls on us to witness to the compassion that breaks across the barriers constructed by humanity. Barriers of nation, culture, ethnicity, myriad expressions of identity. God cares for the well-being of those that we do not want God to protect. Those that we consider unworthy, lesser, immoral. That's the question that we are asked in Jonah. God calls on us to reach out in love to protect them, as well as expand our hearts and not just our minds. We might not agree with God. Jonah never did. We might not agree with those people that we see as being so different from us. But God nevertheless values them and calls on us to be active witnesses of God's love. The Holy Spirit unsettles us, moves us to respond to God's love by moving beyond the way we think the world should work, the way we think God should work, to radiate God's love beyond the barriers and boundaries that seem so clear to us. We don't know how Jonah finally responded to the question. It doesn't tell us. We know that when he is first called to broaden his perspective of God, of who God would have compassion for, first time, he ran away. Second time, he responds, but he's angry about it. But we don't see his third response. Perhaps it is like the new Facebook design: avoid, annoyed, and then accept. Or maybe not. We don't know. Perhaps Jonah just sat there, refusing to answer God's question. But Jonah's response is not the most important thing here, anyway. Through Jonah, God is speaking to us today as well. It's our question to answer for ourselves today as well. Will you expand your perspective on the wideness of God's mercy? Will you avoid it, get angry about it? Or will you be moved by it to change your heart? Will you let the Holy Spirit open you to the ways that God is at work that you had never considered before? Amen.
Thank you. than the measures of our mind, and the heart of the eternal is more wonderfully kind. But we make this love too narrow by false limits of our own, and we magnify its strictness with the zeal God will not own. Tis not all we owe to Jesus, it is something more than all. Greater good because of evil, larger mercy through the fall. Make our love, O God, more faithful. Let us take you at your word, and our lives will for the goodness of the Lord.
Please rise as you are able for the prayers. Drawn together in the compassion of God, we pray for the church, the world, and all of those in need. We pray for those convalescing, homebound, and all affected by isolation. We pray for our first responders, military members, and their families, doctors, nurses, medical technicians seeking a cure, all essential workers, those working tirelessly, serving their neighbors, and keeping us safe. We pray today especially for Mike Barbaccio, recovering from surgery, and Bruce Merrill, preparing for surgery. And for those we name now silently in our hearts or aloud on our lips. Bring healing and relief to all, and give us hope in the promise of new and eternal life, where pain and suffering will be no more.
Our response today is, hear our prayer. Generous God, you make the last first and the first last. Where this gospel challenges the church, equip it for its works of service. Strengthen those who suffer for Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Sun and wind, bushes and worms, cattle and great cities. Nothing in creation is outside of your concern, mighty God. In your mercy, tend to it all. Give us a spirit of generosity toward all you have made. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Where we find envy and create enemies, you provide enough for all. Bring peace to places of conflict and violence. Inspire leaders with creativity and wisdom. Bless the work of negotiators, peacekeepers, and development workers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Reveal yourself to all in need as you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, ready to relent from punishing. Accompany judges and lawyers, victims of crime and those serving sentences. Give fruitful labor and a livelihood to those seeking work. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Even beyond our expectations, you choose to give generously. Grant life, health, and courage to all who are in need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We praise you for the generations that have declared your power to us. Give us faithfulness to follow them, living for Christ, until you call us to join them in the joyful song around his throne. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. All these things, and whatever else you see that we need, we entrust to your mercy through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. I do encourage you to share the peace with one another, whether through a sign in person, through text, through whatever electronic means you have available. Peace be with you. And now we pray the Lord's Prayer using the words that Jesus taught us in the familiar translation. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, and abound in thanksgiving. The blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
I've been asked to remind people the instructions for leaving today. You can exit through any of the doors from the sanctuary. Feel free to greet people in the parking lot once you're outside safely. And a reminder for the communion service this evening. With that, go in peace. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.